Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101 Masterpiece Radio. This program is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more so like having a coffee and chatting about various crap afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. That's right, folks. Another show is here brimming over with recovery. So remember, we used to suffer from insanity, but now we do so enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, partake, and thank you so much for your support, likes, and comments at recovery101.net. It's listeners like you that keep us in the garage and off the blues.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our Marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OACA, GAPA, SLA, SLA, CRR, CRR, CRRR, MM, DRA, HA, FA, or any other programs. The opinions are those of the hosts and the hosts alone, because nobody else would have them.
True.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with
Shelly.
Yay, Shelly! So, what's coming up? What's on the agenda? What kind of goodies are going to be happening here soon?
Well, on the 10th, there's a couple of bills that are getting paid.
Isn't there something happening earlier than that? Like a play or something?
No, that's on the 12th.
It's called the Tombstone Canal. And it's completely fictitious. There was no canal in Tombstone.
And it's a comedy.
But there could have been. We live in an area, we should just do this for the bantering. We live in an area that is thick with history of the Old West.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Really thick.
We live in the Gadsden Purchase.
The shootout at the OK Corral was here. If you've seen the movie Tombstone, that's all about here. Geronimo and Cochise, the famous Apache warriors that kept, you know, the cavalry at bay for months and months and months and months, hung out in the hills around here in these rock-laden fortresses.
Immigration and Naturalization Services started in Tombstone. The first IS officer ever, first Border Patrol agent.
That house is
John D. Milton.
That house is for sale.
Yes. I love that house. It's so cute.
And a guy that I talked to at a meeting last night told me, he goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the haunted one.
It's haunted and, AF.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And I go, have you ever seen anything? He goes, look, he goes, I'm as skeptic as the next guy. He goes, but let me tell you something. He goes, I lived in the Pacific or the Atlantic Northeast, like Providence, Rhode Island or something. And he goes, very old section of the world. You know, you'd think if the ghosts were attached to something, they'd be played. He goes, never seen anything weird until I came to Tombstone. I'm like, so you've actually seen weird stuff? He goes, all the time. I go, were you sober? And he goes, oh, yeah, totally sober.
Well, the wife of my fellow tenor, Tom, Roxanna Cole, she told me when I told her where we were moving, she said, oh, you have to be careful what you buy down there. Because, you know, if it's haunted, it could, you know, it could really mess you up. I'm like, I don't really believe in ghosts. She's like, well, you will.
Well, according to this guy, the dude that was the original border guy,
John D. Milton,
his house is supposedly the, you know, they always talk about the Birdcage Theater. If you look it up online, Haunted Birdcage Theater, yeah, as being the most haunted place in Arizona. And this guy is like poppycock. He's like, it's the Milton house, and it's for sale, and we were thinking about trying to buy it.
I don't know. I'd have to go and see the inside and stuff, but it's so cute on the outside. I just love it.
Yeah, there's no view, though, like where we are.
No,
we talked about it a little bit last show, but we've been a little bit spoiled because this house, there is no one across the street from us.
Right.
So there is a straight shot all the way to the mountains, and, you know, it's... I think it's going to be difficult to find a house that's like that. But,
yeah,
you know, you never know.
We'll see. The house that we're supposed to have will appear when it's time to get it.
Yeah, well, that's when. Well,
I got to keep telling myself that because I am not in charge of miracles.
From the last show. Okay, so You know what that means?
Actually, I do.
Well, it's time for the busy news and the news not fit for booze. I'm never going to get used to the speed of that. That's like Walter Cronkite on meth. Shout-outs to Yvette, Wendy, Lori, Faith, Stephen, Hamid, Damon, Gary, Monty, Dadoff, Fran, Bill, Roger, Dave, Randy, James. This is getting a long list. J-Duff, Joey, John, Carol, Natalie, Georgette, Jack, Curtis, Lee, Jane Lynn, Blanche, Miranda, Paul, and Anthony. Do we have everyone who's on Patreon on this? Because we're supposed to be giving shout-outs to those guys. We're going to have to look and check and
make
sure.
Yeah, we'll have to double-check.
Okay, and I went to through five of them last time, I think. Ooh, so I went.
Were Bill and Fran on your shout-out list?
Yes, of course. Okay.
Just checking. Katie Uck.
Oh, and actually, you know what? So, last time it was the Damon Show, and part of this is the Damon Show as well. So, I don't know actually if this is an update or not. Remember, there was the thing where they were finding poop.
Yes, the Mad Poopers.
Okay, so was that New Jersey?
I don't remember.
Well, because this is pretty specific, so I'm not sure if it's an update or not. The mystery high school pooper, they were finding.
Well, that's new.
Poop.
Because the other one was the
football field.
Oh, no, it was in Boston, was the other one. She was the jogging pooper.
Okay. So this apparently has been a thing going on at schools in New Jersey where they're finding poop on the football fields of high school places.
Could it be a dog?
No.
How do they know it's not a dog? I mean, are they testing this poop?
It could be Thomas Tremaglini, 42, who's been the superintendent in the Kenilworth School District since 2015, was arrested on Monday after he was seen defecating out in the middle of Holmdel High School.
Oh, my gosh.
Football field. Yeah.
What was his excuse?
Well, you know what?
You didn't read the rest of the story?
Well, no. I don't think he gave an excuse. But what I was looking to see, well, he said, wait a minute. Now I was in the wrong. I was on.
Are you
the
having
wrong,
trouble with the phone?
Yes, I was in the wrong place. So, police said that coaches and staff members at Holmdel High School had previously told their school resource officer that they were finding hunks of human feces.
How
out
did they know
the
it was human
field.
Though? Human dog.
Yeah,
you could make
dog,
a case.
Yeah, you could, but they set up surveillance to monitor the area. And saw Tremaglini running there Monday morning and stopping for a break. He was arrested at 5:50 a.m. has been charged with lewdness, public urination, defecation, and dumping of litter.
And probably will lose his job, I'm betting.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I didn't copy it and paste it in the Boozy News, but because he hasn't been charged of a felony, he's on administrative leave, paid leave.
So he might not get fired.
He might not get fired.
Oh, that's just gross.
But he's probably going to, but he may
Why
not.
Would you even keep the job? Everybody you know is going to look at you and wonder where you took a crap that day. Mm-hmm. And you know that for till the end of time.
Okay, this is fantastic. This is also from Damon. The name of the story was "Oh to be a fly on the wall of a recent United Airlines flight from Denver to North Dakota."
That's a long headline.
A passenger tweeted to United Airlines from the flight.
Uh-oh.
And said that one of the flight attendants' behavior was very strange, and she was about to go tell the pilot what was going on. She said that the flight attendant was telling people, if your seatbelt isn't tight, you fucked up. Which what? Made everyone think that the plane was about to crash.
Oh.
And I wish I had the picture to show you. The woman took a picture and tweeted the picture as well. I don't know what's up with this chick. But she is like huddled down like she just did a bunch of cocaine and is paranoid. She's huddled down with the microphone in her hand. And the woman marches right past her. goes up to the phone to the cockpit and says, something's wrong with your flight attendant out here. We don't know what it is, but she just told everyone that they better be seatbelted up or you're going to be fucked. And the pilot's like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the plane. She goes, well, people are getting a little iffy out here. And I guess the by the time they got to where they were landing in North Dakota, medical personnel and cops met them, took the flight attendant into custody. Now, granted, United Airlines, kind of a hero of the week, sort of. They refunded everybody on the plane.
Well, that's good.
So that was...
Because that was the airline that got in trouble for...
Oh, yeah.
Pulling that guy off the plane.
Oh, it also was reported that the attendant was taken, quote, out of service.
I'll bet.
Oh, she was. Okay, here's a short one I found. How not to pass a drug test.
Okay.
You often hear a variety pack of ways to try and pass drug tests.
Right.
Not the least common is using someone else's pee.
Right.
So you got to give this woman in Ohio credit because she used someone else's pee. Unfortunately, that person tested positive as well. So what she tried to do is after testing positive, she admitted that she used a pee, which... where she was, it's illegal. It doesn't say if it's a felony, but it was illegal. Just said that's a crime. And, yeah. So she tried to claim that, oh, it wasn't my pee. But then, and it had been several days, so they thought, oh, she's going to come up clean, but she came up dirty anyway, so. That's how not to.
That ranks right up there with, like, trying to drink jars and jars of pickle juice and crap like that.
Ew, yes. Oh, this is fantastic. So this is in Argentina. And I did read this quite thoroughly. So in this police district, they have a storage facility where they store contraband and drugs and things that they confiscate. And at one time, they had about half a ton of weed in there.
Okay. At one time.
Well, now they've got like a few kilos. And the officers that all got arrested claimed that mice were likely eating the weed.
Oh, sure. That much? Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, the animal experts that they brought in said, A, mice know the difference between food and weed, and mice are not known to eat weed. They're just not known to eat.
They'll eat paper.
Yeah, but they said that, well, and notwithstanding the fact that it's, you know, close to half a ton that's missing.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That would require, and I can't remember what the thing was, but it would require 450,000 mice eating, you know, an ounce a day, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's like 100,000 mice eating a shitload a day, and they're like, you know, you guys would know if there was that many mice around here. Plus, they'd all be fat and happy, probably. So yeah, they all got arrested. So they're in trouble.
Actually, I should amend that. Mice don't actually eat paper. What they do is they'll chew through a book, but then they regurgitate the pulp to make nests.
Right. So let's see here. Oh, I think this is a long one. No, it's not a long one. Oh. Oh, pennies from heaven. Yeah, this was in state police, but I can't remember exactly where it's at. Anyway, on the highway, a Brinks truck was driving down the highway with its back door open.
Nice.
They say several $100,000 went out the back of this truck. Now, they got a modicum of it back.
Okay.
But they think there may be as much as $250,000 still missing. And they're encouraging people to turn it in. Now, one person...
That's not going to happen.
People, eyewitnesses said they for sure saw a school bus pulled over.
Oh.
The driver of the school bus. That guy's probably going to get caught. But they said that if you bring it in, no questions asked, you'll get no charges... You'll be good.
What if you came along like a few hours later and you were pulled over because you saw some money, but you didn't know it was a Brinks truck thing and there was just like a few bills in a bush or whatever and you just took them? Would you get in trouble then?
Well, that's what I'd say.
That's what I'd say too, because I'm setting I'm myself like, up.
Look,
here.
There's $20,000 just laying there. I don't know.
I'm setting myself up for, you know, the next time I see a Brinks truck with the door open.
You know what? And I'd love to think I'm honest enough, but man, I don't know. I hope I am.
I would turn it in, but I know most people wouldn't. And you know me. You would turn it in.
You would. And I'd be like,
you'd be over there
turn
going,
in the part you found.
Yeah.
I'll turn in my part. Okay. So the last one. This is from
Florida. Florida. Yeah.
Florida. A woman's been arrested after a two-year-old child in her care tested positive for chronic use of methamphetamine.
What?
This woman was letting this two-year-old smoke meth.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I started out this thing calling it a waste of water.
Yeah, she's a waste of water.
They went to check on reports that people had said that they thought she was letting the two-year-old smoke marijuana. And apparently, smoked marijuana and meth. Multiple witnesses were interviewed who say the two-year-old child smoked marijuana with Ecker and that people joked about the child's ability to roll joints for her.
That is not kosher.
Now, it says in the story that they're not even sure if it's her kid or if it's some kid she's watching for someone else. How'd you like to find that out? So they found in her place, they found marijuana grinder, glass pipes, a digital scale, small plastic bags containing marijuana, and a basket full of children's toys is where all the drugs are being stashed.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
She was placed under arrest and for a variety pack of things. I don't know what's going to happen to her, but yeah, she's a waste of water.
But she could
go away for quite a while, but it says it's unclear whether Ecker is the child's mother.
Is this the one where, because I saw something on my Facebook feed the other day, some woman posted, you know, make this person famous, and it had a picture that this woman had posted on her Facebook thing of a very, very young child rolling something.
I don't know. Maybe.
Huh.
And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. That sound is horrible now.
Yes.
One more time.
Okay. You went one too many.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We are back. Welcome back, Shelly.
Hola. ¿Qué tal?
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back. She's having none of that.
Actually,
folks.
I believe that the ticket out was the foreclosure notice on her house.
Yeah, might have been. So, you have a topic.
I did. Yeah, I did. There it goes. It's gone. Bye-bye.
You better think of a new one because we're on the air now.
We're live. We're live, bitches. Oh, I remember what it was. Fancy footwork. Fancy footwork.
Now, when you say fancy footwork, the first thing that comes to mind is people doing necessary footwork for the program in unnecessary ways, maybe?
No, I just mean it like...
Like they're doing it fancifully? Like what the hell? Or is it the type of people that it's almost like they're on meth when they do footwork? It's like you had a girl went through like all 12 steps in like 90 days.
She got up to step, she was working step 9 at like 60 days. No, I mean kind of like the footwork versus God provides people. Because you are big on, don't worry, it's all going to work out. God's got this.
Yep.
And I'm always on the, have you done this?
Have
you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? And you're always, no, no, no. Don't worry. It's all going to work out. And the difference between the two things is that I think I don't work well under pressure.
And I do.
I need time to do things. On the other hand, you just sort of like let crap sit there forever.
Not necessarily, because the reason why I say I work well under pressure is I used to work in a corporate environment where it was pressure all the time. Everything was pressure every day. And it doesn't mean you never did anything, but you do what you can do, and then God takes care of the rest. Isn't that what program has taught you? Apparently not.
Yes. However, in my case, there's an awful lot of footwork that goes into everything all day long.
Okay.
Very little of my day. Okay. What I turn over is that I'm powerless over alcohol. That's not my job. I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Right. And you ask God to remove your character defects.
Well, yeah.
And you tell him to direct all your thoughts during the day.
Well, if he's in charge of directing my thoughts, here's my thought process. I have to do X, Y, Z. I have to do this before I do that. I have to do that after I do this.
That's what he's
and
telling you.
I'm constantly doing stuff. Everything else in my day, other than giving up my powerless, giving up alcohol, giving up my disease to my higher power, everything else in my life involves me doing crap.
That God directs you to do.
Well, damn, I'm busy compared to you.
Well, God's directing you to be that way.
No, you're just not doing shit.
That's untrue.
But there are a lot of people, though, in the program. There's two kinds of people. There are the doers and there are the sitters.
No, I'm not a sitter.
Yes, you are.
I am not. Nobody gets 28 years by being a sitter.
Well, you're a sitter now. You don't have a commitment.
Well, okay, at the moment, I don't have a commitment.
I do. We've only been here 3 months, and I'm already a GSR.
You're a GSR?
Yeah, for Friday night.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
When's your next meeting?
June 2nd.
GSR. It's not like in California where there's like a meeting every month. You're like, what's the kind of commitment? Twice a year? Yeah,
no,
I could
it's four
that.
Times a year. And I might have to drive.
To Tucson.
To Benson.
Oh, jeez, come on. Benson's not
the
even...
The first meeting,
Benson's
actually...
Benson's barely further than driving to Tombstone.
I know, the first meeting
that's
is actually...
half an hour, though.
The first meeting's actually at the Fellowship Hall at our church in Tombstone. That's June 2nd. And then 3 months later, I think it's in Benson.
So you really went out on the limb.
Still volunteered.
Wait, what day of the week is this meeting?
It's Saturday.
Oh. Okay. Well, I was going to say, because if it's like Wednesday night at like... 8 o'clock or something, I'm going to call foul because I'm going to be like, you're already going to be there for the meeting at 7. Get out at 8, then you're there.
No.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? Have you ever been a GSR before?
Only when I was a kid. In Alateen, we had GSRs, and I'm guessing that's extremely different.
Oh, matter of fact, the gal that I met at the meeting last night, she said that she used to run at Alateen in this area. I said, oh, you'll have to meet my wife because she was part of a trifecta of speakers that went out. She spoke for Alateen, her mom spoke for Al-Anon, her dad spoke for AA. And she's like, oh, wow, how cool is that?
Yeah, that doesn't happen so much anymore.
So, I think that in the morning when I pray, I do the third step prayer because I'm very prayer specific. You have a prayer. For those who might be new to the program or haven't heard it before, tell them the entirety of your morning prayer.
My morning prayer, my feet hit the floor, and I say, thanks for the day, God, let's get started. But then, I'm not a specific prayer. I'm a chatterer. I chit-chat all day long.
Yeah, God, what the fuck is this?
Well, sometimes, God, what the hell is going on here? Or sometimes it's, oh, God, thank you for not putting so many emails in my box because I got a lot of other stuff
to do.
Well,
and look, and let me start out by saying, look, however folks at home pray, that's the way you pray. And the way you pray, that's the way you pray. I'm specific because I need specific help. So I do the third step prayer. You know, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I have ever done you. Do your will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those who I'd help love. Love thy power, thy way, love life. May I do thy will always. So, that's asking for his direction in everything during the day. I follow it up with the seventh step prayer, which is to remove my character defects. I have to admit that sometimes I play the rubber band theory with that. I give all my defects to God in the morning, and occasionally I snap one back if I think I might need one during the day.
Or you inflict them on other people.
Well, but
I'm going to need that one because this guy's an asshole.
Well, you know, but I, But I do it. I do it. It's weird to say that you pray away religiously, but I pray religiously every single day. I do the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and the Serenity Prayer. And then if I have anything extra I need to throw in, I throw it in at that time. At night, when I get the, I still throw in extra if I need it at night. And I still promise you that I do the Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer. And I've been doing that since I taught it to my daughter when she was about three, and I still do it.
That prayer freaks me out. Always has.
It doesn't freak me out because, for me, who's not always 100% sure of religion and how everything works, I know that God has kept me sober, but I'm telling Jesus, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. So I do that every day.
Yeah, but if I should die before I wake.
Yeah, like if I have a heart attack in my sleep.
Yeah, when you're a little kid and they teach you that prayer.
Yeah, that is kind of creepy, isn't it?
I remember thinking, wait a minute, I'm going to die? That might have something to do with the fact that I really, 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 really hate sleeping.
Well,
because I feel like it's a waste of time.
You know, when I was young, and when you were young to a certain extent, you would have been really young. But in the, say, mid-70s, there was a reasonable chance that everyone was going to die due to nuclear war. And, I mean, it was very...
We were
still
doing the drills in the late 70s in Ohio.
Yeah, which is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, get under your table. Yeah, like that's going
to
stop
we had
a
to
nuclear
go,
blast.
We had to all file into the inside hallways that were in the middle of the school.
Away from the glass?
Away from the glass and away from everything else and crouch down on the floor.
Oh, my God. I have to throw this in. So we were at Covina Drive-In Movie Theater one time. It was on the corner of Arrow Highway and Grand. Okay? So we're watching the movie Capricorn 1. Did you ever see that?
Oh, yes. I love that movie.
Capricorn 1 was the one where they were supposedly faked the moon landing.
Yeah, I love that movie.
And
the book
in
was really
the
good
scene
too.
Where the Saturn V rocket is lifting off, there's flames all over the scene, right? You're just... And suddenly, we notice there's smoke and glow going out the sides of the screen, and a gigantic mushroom cloud comes up behind the screen. And my friend Dennis, who I... all nods to this guy. This guy is, he's a year older than me, so he's like 58, and he is still riding bicycle motocross. The guy looks great. He's fantastic. But he was very analytical, and he goes, oh, wow. And there's a mushroom cloud. Everyone has gotten out of their cars, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's approximately Los Angeles right there. He goes, we should be feeling the, and he's like going through this thing about, we should feel the shockwave any second now. He goes, it'd probably be a good idea to stay in the car and maybe start driving the opposite direction. It turned out it was a paint factory in the city of Irwindale that exploded.
Oh.
But it was a mushroom cloud right in the time when there was a serious chance that there could be nuclear war. And it just scared the crap out of us. But, you know, nowadays we don't, you know, kids, you know, to us when I was young, yeah, if you die before you wake, if there was a nuke, yeah. Okay, God's got my back. You gotta save me.
I don't know. I always thought that prayer was a little creepy.
I'll be resurrected. Or maybe not, depending on who you talk to. So give me another example of...
Fancy footwork. Okay, the other aspect of this, the other end that I was thinking about this in, is when you have a sponsee and you give them direction and they want to do something different.
Oh, the fancy footwork as in tap dancing their way through the steps.
Well, either tap dancing it or I like, because I can't tell you how many sponsees I've had that have been dismayed at the simplicity of the program and how simple it really is.
I was.
And they want, well, this can't be it. There's got to be more homework.
Yeah, it's got to be harder than this because it just doesn't make any sense. Why couldn't I do this on my own?
Right.
Well, the fact is I didn't do any of the things the program asked. Like the main thing, which is stop getting loaded.
Right. But when I have a sponsee, I had one. And I call them, you know, when we talk about stuff like this, because over the course of 11 years, I've probably had 30 sponsees. I call them sponsees, but probably only 5 that have actually stuck around or done any work or anything like that. Sponsees in the sense that they called me for a couple of weeks and then that was it.
I haven't. Well, you know, it's weird because the longer I stay, I mean, I have a few that have stayed around. You know, my guy Williams got like 5 or 6.
Yeah, something like that.
Greg's got more like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's only a couple years behind me.
James, who I sponsored for a while, and we actually, this was a mess.
Yeah, that was
a mess. Co-sponsored each other for a while. But I will give him credit. Every time, he was like Vitae to me.
I don't know that we actually want to say that name on the air.
No, probably not. You'll have to remember to edit that. V was like a sponsee you had, where whatever I told him to do, he did it. I tell him to write something. He didn't just write. He come back the next day with like 4 pages. I'm like, bro, this is not an essay. This is not English class. I always tell guys when I'm getting them to write something, I'm like, look, I don't care what you write it on. I don't care if you write it on a paper plate. You know, the thing is, I'm not looking for an essay from you. I want you to hit these main bullet points. And that's it. You know, don't. And it's like you said, it goes back to the simplicity of the program. I don't need a thesis from you on step two, you know, or you know, when you're talking about how unmanageable your life is in step one. The second part is step one. I'm like, I don't need a thesis. I need some, give me 5 or 6 prime examples, 1-2 paragraphs. That's all I need. Because you know what? Your unmanageability is probably going to be exactly like my unmanageability, which is exactly like everybody else's in the program. When we get to the make a list of your character defects, I love that. Because, first of all, if you do it the way the book says, you've already got a list of your character defects because you pull them out of your inventory. The funny thing is, you can go download a set of character defects, and they're going to pretty much fit everybody.
Mostly.
Mostly. So, Shelley, what would your final words be on fancy footwork?
Well, if you don't like the dance, change the music.
Ooh. I would say that for fancy footwork, what you should not do is don't tap dance your way around your sponsor's instructions. They tell you to do something for a reason, the way that works. And if they're telling you stuff that doesn't work, then you need a new sponsor. So, Shelley, who's the final lead-out music by?
The final lead-out music?
Who's the lead-out music by?
Jam Alkers.
Jam Alkers. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
And take care of you.
Liars and beggars and bones and thieves, come gather round for your daily reprieve. All of us here are soaked in sin. Brothers and sisters, I call you my kin. We sang with the band as we shipped out to sea. We toasted the captain while sunk to our knees. We made it to shore by the skins of our necks. Share the scars we received from the wreck. Contents and disheveled, the young heretics and the rousers of rebels. Now sing with me.
Hear, oh, hear.
fight until my dying breath. So sing with me. Proud fight until my dying breath. See, I'll fight this proud fight until my dying breath.